sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good hands. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Today on the Grave Talks, direct from the dead, a conversation with Richard Mascella. In Morris County, New Jersey, you'll find paranormal investigator, writer, and intuitive Richard Mascella. In 07, he started an organization called the New Jersey Paranormal Project. With all the years he spent working in the sector, he's learned to treat each situation with the utmost respect. Because of his mediumship skills, he's constantly surrounded by other talented medium and light workers with whom he works and studies. Inspired by the maxim, one must never cease learning, he's always conducting studies into the sphere of the paranormal and collaborating with a wide variety of exceptionally talented people. Richard himself is a medium who uses a technique called spirit art to relay information from the other side by drawing pictures of what he sees during a reading. He's a published author with Beyond the Fray, has 4 books available, My New Jersey Paranormal Project, Spirit Voices, Case Files of the Paranormal, and Spirits and History. Today we hear his story on the Grave Talks.
That spark for me, it starts in childhood. I was the kid that always, I gravitated towards the adult table and the conversations that the adults were having. And I remember hearing my family talk about my dad's side and my father's side of the family, that paternal side. They were big into the occult. His mother, I believe, was a medium. She had the ability. She was very intuitive. But the stories would stem from seances to my father. One time he walked in on a seance and his family members were all sitting around the table. And as he was there, he said the curtains actually started moving and the room got frigid cold. And it was the middle of summer and it freaked them out. And these were the stories that they would talk about and, you know, seeing ghosts. So I, you know what, that for me was sparked at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And being that I'm 40, I grew up, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. So yep. The paranormal wasn't all over like it is now, like Discovery Plus and all these outlets, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
Pretty much we grew up at an awesome time and we could appreciate now how big the paranormal has come. But when we wanted to learn about it, we had to find the darkened corners of the libraries and read Hans Holzer and the Warrens. So that's where my education started. So sparked from childhood, now I start investigating, you know, different authors and different topics and everything from spirit to aliens to Sasquatch. I wanted to know it all. And then combine, you know, you get the shows like In Search Of and Sightings and, you know, those really sparked my interest because I'm like, wow, there are people that are devoting their time and energy to these topics and bringing them to the forefront. Even though it wasn't like it is now all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the History Channel actually showed documentaries and A&E was showing documentaries on the paranormal and not reality television.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, back in the day.
Yeah. All back in the day.
We're the same age. I remember all those same things. So, exactly.
I'm telling you. So now when people approach me and they're like, can you tell me what it was like? Oh, yeah, it was really hard finding books. And you couldn't go on Amazon and just click the title that you wanted that's out of print and it arrives in 3 days. Like, you had to search this information down.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started learning and reading a lot of books, I started to open up myself to the paranormal. And that's when encounters started to happen with me as a child. I can tell you countless stories of when I laid down in bed at night and feeling a presence inside the room and feeling the bed actually go down as if someone was leaning over the bed and hoping that it would go away,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to shut that off. And it was probably around this time that my, you know, mom and dad, they sat down and they told me a story that involved the death of my paternal grandfather. And his death was very untimely. And his mother, in the weeks prior to his passing, received so much nudge from spirit that something was going to happen. And I wrote about it in my first book. But Pretty much, she was visited by her mother three times. And each time the spirit of her mother came, she would scream, and everyone in the house would hear her, my father, his sister, but his father would never wake up. And it happened a few times. And again, you know, my father's sister woke up, my father woke up, but my grandfather, he just kept sleeping. And one morning he went off to work and he never came home. So she felt that that was her mother trying to warn her that, you know, something bad was going to happen to him.
Yeah.
So,
and this was a scream they heard in the house?
This happened a bunch of times. And as it happened, she would, you know, grab hold of her mother's arm and scream to wake up my father and, you know, his sister.
Yeah.
And try to alert the house. And on the day of the accident that happened where he loses his life, she was getting ready to leave the house. And as she was getting ready to leave the house, the dishes in the cabinet started to rattle. Lights started to flicker. And she just had that knowing something happened to him.
What did happen to him?
He was found on the side of a very busy road in Hudson County, New Jersey, pretty much crushed from his waist up.
What happened?
They say that maybe he got out of his vehicle and a bus went by and crushed him from the waist up. But this event happened right across the street from a diner. And there were things going on where they weren't sure if people might have caused this to happen to him because nobody had anything to say about it. And this is 1973, 1974. So there were no witnesses. And the first person that arrived on the scene that saw his body was a priest.
What was the priest's reaction?
The priest was just shocked. The priest saw his body there and was like, because once my father went to, you know, the scene and they had photos of him, he's like, I would have never knew that, you know, was him.
Yeah.
So it's a whole mystery and, you know, involved with like the paranormal. So this too sparked my interest because, you know, when something so personal like this happens to your family, it really triggers that. Like, I want to know more about this.
So over the years, has there been any more investigating, whether it be professional or yourself or anything into that? I mean, it's kind of an unsolved mystery.
Yeah. I mean, it totally was. And I always said, you know, I like wish that somebody like reached out and was like, I could tell you what happened to him. Or over the years, my grandmother really didn't pursue it because she didn't know who was involved. Mm-hmm. Some people said it might have been like mafia stuff. So she was afraid of what could happen to the family if she pursued.
Sure. Was he involved in that world in any way, shape or form?
At the time, I believe he was speaking up about the Teamsters, and this is, you know, era, you know, so we really don't know, you know, it's just one of those unsolved things. But as the years went on, and as I got more and more into the field, I went with a friend to a medium, and my friend wanted, you know, somebody with her because she was afraid, you know, it was her first reading. She's like, just please come with me so I don't walk into a stranger's house.
And
I agreed, so I went with her. Medium had no idea that I was going, didn't know my name. This is like 2002, so there's no really like you couldn't Google who I was coming over.
Sure.
So I go in with my friend, and we're walking up to the door of the medium's house, and the medium comes out, and she greets us, and she's looking above my head. And the medium's looking above my head. We walk into the house, and she goes, listen, before I do the reading for your friend, I need a convey a message that's coming through spirit for you. She goes, your grandfather's here. She goes, he's dressed as a truck driver, which that's his occupation, which was amazing. The hair already started to rise up on my body.
Sure.
Because now I'm like, oh my God. Okay. He's dressed like a truck driver. He's like a big guy, she said. And he wants to recognize the junior. I'm Richard Michella Jr. My father's the senior. So again, hit that right on the head. And he wants to come through, and he's coming through with a simple message. He's coming through saying he's proud of you. And for the years leading up to that moment, I never got to meet him. I was born in 1982, so I never got to meet him. So as things would happen in my life, I would wonder, you know, hey, Grandpa, are you proud of me?
Yeah.
So all these years later, it comes rushing to me in this reading for my friend that he's coming through with just that simple answer of, hey, Rich, yeah, I am proud of you. So it almost even makes you think of how spirit can hear us, even those simple little conversations that we might have on our day to work, or, you know, when you throw that conscious thought out there, that they could intercept it and actually hear what, like, we're saying. So he came through with that, and she said to me right there and then, your grandfather's with you. Like, he is one of your guides. He has taken up that job of being with you, you know? So I found that to be comforting.
That's very interesting. And especially one that you had never met as well. Yeah. My grandparents died in a car accident a couple years prior to when I was born in 82 as well. And I never met them, but I also always had that wonder of, are they around? You know, certain things happen certain ways. And it's like, you think of guardian angels and things of that nature. And I always kind of thought of them as like, maybe they had it. And they had died in a car accident as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like so like tragic and such a quick passing, you know, that you really don't know like what, you know, is going on. And when I walked in there and I did not expect that was my first experience of mediumship, like full frontal happening right in front of me. And once that happened and she nailed all those evidential points, I mean, he's a truck driver. He's a big guy. He's coming through. He wants to recognize the junior, which is me. And, you know, just coming through, just a simple message, just saying I'm proud of you was just amazing and profound, to say the least. That really sparked my interest in learning all about mediumship.
Yeah. I mean, what was your experience or level of knowledge of it prior to that experience?
Pretty much what you read about, you know, in books from Hans, like Holzer and the Warrens and the work that they did. I knew of a few, like John Edwards was big at the time. He had a show on television.
Yeah.
At that time, probably 2005, 2006, the show Medium, Ghost Whisperer was big on television. So, you know, then I started to investigate authors like John Holland and James Van Praagh and Sylvia Brown. And I started to read as much as I could on the subject matter. You know, I want, like, that's my personality. When I want to learn something, I want to know everything about it, you know.
Sure.
The full spectrum. I want to know about trance mediumship. I want to know the difference between being clair, you know, voyant to clairsentient, and, you know, to know all like the clairs, and to know just how it works. How does someone connect to spirit? And it was a real journey time of my life of just being a sponge and absorbing as much information that I could on the paranormal and mediumship and metaphysics.
Mm-hmm. So as you're digging into all of this and you're seeing these other people who are able to do these things and realizing, oh, there are certain people that actually do have these abilities, and, you know, some certainly pretend to, but some really have it. Did you in your mind at that moment think, I have the ability to do that as well?
It's crazy, because as I started to move around in my life, you know, I get married, I move into an apartment, you know, it's the middle of the night and I'm laying there in bed and I hear a conversation that's playing out in my living room. And it sounds like people having a conversation back and forth, and it starts getting loud, and it's about 1:30 in the morning. Now, I rented the upstairs apartment from an older woman that was on the first floor that was in her 70s. She would go to bed at 7 o'clock, you know. So
yeah.
I knew nothing was happening downstairs. And as I heard this conversation one night, I swear it sounded like these two people were arguing in my living room. So I run out of the bedroom, I go into the living room, and I thought people broke into the house. And I scream, I'm like, get out of here. And I look, and the door is locked, the house is quiet. So I wanted to rule out if anybody was outside. So I run down the outside stairs, I go outside, and this is now 1:30, 1:40 in the morning, and no one is outside the apartment. Creeped out, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, that was somebody actually in the apartment. So the next night, same thing happens. I'm hearing a conversation coming from the living room. And that's when I said to myself, maybe I'm hearing spirit. And I have a good friend of mine who at the time was practicing as a medium. And I told her about it. And she goes, listen, there's some schools that you can go to, some classes that you can take that can help you tune into that frequency and learn about it. So I started to take classes on it. And again, as I would move to different places, I felt that I started to pick up on different things with spirit. I'm sitting in my friend's home and we're watching a Yankee game and we're sitting there in his kitchen and he lets out a deep burp. And it was the craziest thing because it was this robotic sounding voice. I would say it sounded like a robot. And it came from all around us. And it simply said, excuse you. I'm telling you, I was like, I'm done. The Yanks are losing. I'm out. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
did your friend hear this or only you picking up on it through spirit?
He also heard it.
Interesting.
He also heard it. He looked at me. I looked at him and it was like, did you just hear that? And we, I booked it. Because then I still was afraid of it. And that's a huge thing for anybody who's a sensitive or who picks up stuff. You know, sometimes you're not able to deal with it. It scares you. You try to shut it off. Mm-hmm. But then throughout life, as things started happening and they started happening more often, I said, I'm going to have to start embracing this. Even if people start thinking I'm crazy, I'm just going to have to start telling people what I see or what I feel.
Yeah.
So it was probably 2014, 2015 that I actually started to, when images would come to me, I'd be like, hey, did your grandfather, dress a certain way and comb his hair to the certain side? And was he into like carpentry and he fixed things? And all of a sudden, this stuff all started to hit for the people that I would start talking to. So I kept pursuing sitting in different mediumship circles and learning from the spiritualist churches that offer amazing classes on it and just honing in on it and keep learning. And I'm kind of at the point that I'm at now where I do spirit art and I bring what I learned through mediumship to the different investigations that I go on and that I'm involved with.
How does one, I know you said you've been to many classes and workshops and all of that. And so obviously you learn a lot there, but in a more simplistic way, how would you describe how you tuned in to spirit to feel these sort of things and get this information?
Well, I feel everybody has a God-given gift of being intuitive. What we call, I had a gut feeling. Well, if you take away that gut feeling, what really is that? Mm-hmm. That's an inner knowing that everybody has, not to go home a certain way. Or you have a sense that something bad's going to happen and something bad does happen or something good's going to happen. So you have that inner knowing, that gut feeling. Well, let's call it what it is. That's intuition. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different levels of it. Some people are not as open as others. But what classes do when you start a mediumship class and a beginner mediumship class, first thing is quieting your mind, which is amazingly hard to do because monkey brain that we all have where our minds are just running at a million miles an hour and we're thinking about what we're going to have for dinner and where we're going to go tomorrow. It's actually trying our best to quiet our minds and just open up to the stillness and slowly meditate. And just through meditation and connecting to spirit and asking spirit to step forward. And if there's a message, you would be surprised at what people can pick up that are just in these beginner classes. When they learn how to meditate, how they learn how to quiet their mind chatter and just accept spirit.
That is the hardest thing to do, to quiet the monkey mind down.
Yeah.
How the hell did you do it?
Well, I mean, and I do believe that, you do have to have some level of the skill level in you. Like for me, my grandparents, you know, like my grandmother was definitely in tune with the occult and mm-hmm. with her own intuitive abilities, if you want to call it that. So I know a lot of stuff with mediumship runs through generations. Mm-hmm. You'll talk to a medium and they'll tell you either their grandmother or their grandfather was one and their great grandmother was one before them. So there is a little bit of that.
Sure.
So for me, it's always been visual. I've always seen these images play out in my mind's eye. And as I started to investigate these historical locations, I would see these images. And I started talking to the docents and the historians that would be available at these places. And I would start describing what I was seeing. And if any relevant things were coming through, which I would call the evidential evidence, mm-hmm. and this evidential evidence is what connects what I'm picking up to that place. So, you know, as I see these images, I'll get the year, say 1927, and I'll get an image, fire. Was there and all this stuff I write down around the image that I sketch. And as I started doing this, it all started making sense to the people that are the docents and the historians. Once I started doing it and meditating and sitting in the stillness, and they call that in mediumship circles, you're connecting to the power. Mm-hmm. When you connect to the infinite, you know, power of the universe itself, which, you know, in Star Wars terms, you know, it binds us. You know, this cosmic energy is all around us, and that's spirit consciousness. And when you can tap into that, you can tap into the divine, right? So that's what all these mediums do. We raise our vibration and spirit lowers theirs. And when they do that, that connection is made. So all what a medium is a receiver. So when people say, oh, you know, they're so skillful, well, they're in tune. They're able to raise their antenna as spirit comes down and intercepts it. And that's where the communication is made. And when we could do that, when we could be the best tool for spirit to use to get their message through, then we're doing our job, you know, and that's important. And I would agree, you know, too, with the evidential, you know, you're not loosey-goosey with your mediumship. You're not saying, I see a grandfather and he loved to drive a car. You know, that's really a generic. But when you could tell me what he wore, what kind of music that he enjoyed, to the meals that he enjoyed, to things that touched his heart, to what a photo looked like that meant something to him. That's stuff that you should not be able to know without receiving direct message from that spirit. So that's what we strive for. That's what I strive for. When I could go into a place and give you 30 to 40 facts about a person that lived there, mm-hmm. I could walk out of there feeling that I did my job right.
When someone, you're with someone, and let's go back a little bit to when you were kind of discovering you had this ability and you were around friends and suddenly you're saying, did your grandpa do this or that? Were they asking you about their grandpa specifically, or did you just kind of bring that up because you somehow got that information, got that download, if you will, just because you were around that person and you wanted to see what that was?
Well, I would say the first time it happened, I was dating a girl in high school and we went back to her house and her parents were there. They invited me over for dinner. So I go over the house, and as soon as I walk in the house, the mental image that pops in was of an older man and woman. Her hair was up in this bouffant do and he had these dark rimmed glasses on. And I see this white button down shirt with black pants. And I see how they're standing. It was like a picture that just flashed in my mind's eye. So I'm like, well, there really goes this date.
Sure.
So I'm like, but I, you know what? It just kept popping into my mind's eye. So I turned to her. I'm like, do you believe in ghosts? And of course she's like, yeah. So I'm like, well, listen, your grandmother and grandfather passed. And she goes, yes. And I'm like, did your grandmother have her hair up in a picture and your grandfather these dark rimmed glasses? And I described this image that, you know, I'm seeing. And all of a sudden her eyes started to get watery. And I knew that I struck a chord. And she's like, oh, my God. And she runs down to her mother and they go into her mother's bedroom. And there's that picture that I saw in my mind's eye of her grandmother and grandfather. Never been in the house, never seen the picture, but through my mind's eye, I saw those two people standing in the living room.
Do they always have a message, or are they just sometimes there? And do they realize that you can sense them?
I feel sometimes the message alone is just them being there.
Okay.
You know, for you to convey to that person that, hey, listen, you know, your grandmother and grandfather are here. You know, because a lot of us, when we go through grief, we think that that's the end. You know, like that person is no longer physically here and they are gone and they are in heaven and we'll see them someday. Mm-hmm. Well, as you start opening up to the spiritual aspect of the afterlife and afterlife communication, you start understanding that their soul consciousness is always around us, that they're there for important moments of our life, that they're there when we're blowing out the candles for our birthday or celebrating anniversaries. And sometimes it's just looking in for those subtle signs, that the synchronicities of, you know, all of a sudden a song that dad loved pops up on the radio, or, you know, a saying pops into your head, or it's just little moments like that that could mean so much. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are times where, you know, messages start coming across of, you know, hey, I'm getting an image of a Garfield doll that clung to a car window. Does mm-hmm. that mean something to you? And all of a sudden the sitter would be like, oh my God, my dad had that in his old Chevy Caprice and it was all faded. And so it's like sometimes even the evidential information of giving somebody an information to a doll that hung in a car window brings back that memory of dad and lets that sitter know something that you have no way of knowing, that you connected with her father or any loved one for that matter.
That's so interesting that you had that. Did the parents, did you completely win over those parents with that that dinner?
We probably dated for about a month or two more, but then that was it. I'm sure they were like, you know what? We don't need, you know, this bring ghost.
Bring that boy back that can talk with the dad. That he was a nice guy. Yeah.
So again, like, you know, when this starts happening, you start being like, well, maybe I won't share this next time. And you know, it's like you have to come out of like the spiritual closet to mm-hmm. like to a degree with your friends and your family and your coworkers, because, you know, now I work in a hospital setting mm-hmm. and which is a very active place to work, especially when it's a hospital. Mm-hmm. But there are people that come by daily and they want, you know, readings or, hey, can you do some spirit art for me? And, you know, it could be draining. So you have to start telling people like, okay, listen, you know, this is how it works. And I would love to give you a reading, but I can't do like 20 of them in a day.
When can someone come to a medium and say, basically on demand, ask to communicate with someone that has passed on? Or is it just kind of like, I'll tell you whoever is coming by me. It's not so much let's cast the announcement over here and then they show up.
Well, when you go for a mediumship reading, they always say in the days leading up to the reading, throw it out there through your consciousness.
Okay.
And say, like, you know, listen, team, you know, spirit, everybody who's with me, I have a mediumship reading, say on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And I would love for you guys to be there and to come through. That's throwing out that conscious thought to the universe that, listen, I'm going to be here at this time. If you guys can be there, be there. And it's out there. I personally don't feel you could go to a medium and be like, I want you to talk to my father. Do it now.
Yeah.
I feel that who's ever going to come through is going to come through. And they will come through with message. Sometimes you go in and you're hoping for dad and it becomes a neighbor that you might have had an interaction with that passed away.
Sure.
You know, we can't force spirit to communicate. The only thing that we could be is the receiver for it. And that could let down a reading. If you're so hopeful to talk to dad or mom mm-hmm. and you're sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, Aunt Bethel comes through.
Sure.
I mean, you could be like, oh, it's Aunt Bethel. I want to talk to, you know, so.
Why did you put olives in the Jell-O all the time, Aunt Bethel? That was weird.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of like when you call mom on the phone, or, you know, you call somebody on the, there is a chance that person is not going to answer the phone, whether they're busy, whether they're doing something else, whether they're at a certain, if they're somewhere else in the spectrum of consciousness that they can't come in that time. I mean, I really can't tell you how that works. All I can tell you is how it works is when it's coming through, and that's being the conduit for the message that's coming through from any spirit for that person.
Do you ever get messages that you don't know who they're for and later discover, oh, this is who this is directed to be by?
Okay. I work in a mailroom in the hospital setting. So I'm sitting there, my break, and an image of this man comes to me. So again, if I have a pen and pad with me, I just start sketching and I drew him. And he has, you know, glasses on, and I see that he likes salsa music. I saw him like dancing like salsa, and I write that down, and I write a connection to Puerto Rico. And I just had it in my desk. Tony, I probably had it in my desk for about a week. And all of a sudden, we have a new courier that's coming in, and he comes over from the main hospital. And it's the craziest thing, because he looks like the man I drew.
Okay.
So again, it's one of those conversations that you have to have with someone, and it's like, hey, listen, do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
And he's like, why? I'm like, well, listen, and I explain what I do, and I take the sketch out and I show it to him. And I had some more evidence that's written down, years and the color of the car that he drove. And I hand it over to him, and there goes the eyes. You know, the eyes get glassy and watery. And he's like, oh, my God, you just drew my dad. I go, well, I just didn't draw him. This was done about a week ago. But when you came in, you look a hell of a lot like the man I drew. So that's why I had to tell you about this, because it's been bothering me, because I was sitting there at my desk going, who is this person?
Sure.
So again, spirit works in the funniest ways. I mean, here I am, you know, I got that nudge. It just was a week earlier.
When you're actively drawing, are you drawing what you're seeing in your mind, basically having art skills to do such a thing? Because I could see something in my mind and I'm not going to draw it very good. I just don't have, I'm not very artistic in that way. So I could see this not really working out well if for someone who just isn't good at art.
A stick figure isn't going to work.
Yeah. Or is it more like your hand is literally kind of being moved to create this picture where you almost suddenly have art skills?
They say there are mediums that do spirit art that say it, you're almost being assisted from the other side to draw that sketch. There are some that are saying that, you know, I can tell you this, I have no art training. I am a self-taught sketch artist. So what I do is just self-taught. I do a lot of reading about it. I have sketch pads, and I took some small classes. So I try to make it as good as I can get it. When you sit there and you start drawing, I mean, you will learn eventually how to draw a nose and how to draw a mouth and the proportions of you know, a face to eyes to ears. But the major thing in spirit art, and even if somebody just starts picking up a pencil and starts trying it, is capturing the essence of the spirit. I'm not asking you to do something that's going to hang up in the Museum of Modern Art, but what you need to do is just capture the essence of that spirit. And it could be by putting glasses on them that this person wore in life. If the person wore a certain kind of earring, to a hairstyle, to a certain way that dad combed his hair. And once you start capturing the essence, that speaks for itself too. And I feel the more you do this and the more time that you devote to it, you'll start getting better and better and better. When you look at the first sketches that I did a few years ago, they're terrible. But when you start looking at the stuff that I did last week when I was at the Ritz, at the Ritz Theater, or the week before that when I was at Strauss, Mansion in New Jersey, the sketches have gotten better, and the sketches act as their own piece to that investigation, another piece of evidence that can present itself as saying, this woman's here, this is that evidential information about her. And if this makes sense, this is who's in this room. And when, 100% to 95% of that information connects, that is simply amazing to me that I was able to convey that for Spirit.
Sure. Does everyone you interact with have Spirit around them that you pick up on, or only certain people have this aura to them that you're able to get the information from?
I personally feel that Spirit consciousness is always around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like mom and dad are hovering with you, but at times they're with you. You know, they come close when you call upon them. We all have guides and helpers and people around us throughout our day, it's just a realm that we can't see.
Yeah.
Picture as a dimension, it's just a realm that's existing around us that we just don't have the ability of understanding pretty much or seeing. And that consciousness in that realm is there, you know, and it could be tapped into. And I always tell people that lose someone, you know, keep talking to them. You know, you got to, now with the holidays coming up, that's at the core of what this is about. You know, you got to celebrate family, carry on those traditions. You know, if grandma liked making cookies, bake grandma's cookie recipe.
Yeah, to keep that sort of thing alive and going for not only the living, but then imagining if one does do things like that and has certain things around or practices certain things, does that encourage the spirit on the other side or those loved ones to stick around, to be more present?
Totally. Totally. I feel when you honor them, when you think of them, when you speak of them, and when moments happen in our lives that are important, they're there. They're not gone. They're not sitting on a puffy cloud and they're with the angels playing harps. Yeah, it's just, they're not there physically. Their energy is there. That soul consciousness is there. And we're always connected through that. So when people say, oh, is dad, you know, around me? When you think about dad, yeah, dad's there.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about your mom or you think about the times that you had, mom's there. You know, that energy is your phone call to the other side. And you'll see as you go for readings, those little quiet, those conversations that you have when you reach out to your loved ones, they are hearing you. Like even with my grandfather, Tony, like mm-hmm. how I asked time and time again, are you proud of me? Are you proud of me? And that one message, when he came through, he was like, yes, I am proud of you. So they do hear us, you know, and don't stop talking to them. Even if you're driving to work in the morning, you know, you don't have to have a loud verbal conversation. It could be an internal one, but they do know that we're thinking of them. They know that we're asking, you know, if you ask them a question, it's really, truly amazing.
Can the same spirit be at multiple places at once for multiple people? Let's say it's a mom and dad, and let's say you have a sibling. Can that dad be present at both the sibling's place and yours at the same time?
I totally feel that it could. I mean, you're dealing with energy,
mm-hmm. you know,
and that spirit now is energy. It could be everywhere and anywhere. There's been many cases that three children at the same time, you know, saw their father standing in their living room at the moment of his death.
Okay.
And they knew that their father had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, was that at all three places? Totally. You know, the physical laws that we know now do not apply to death because now we shed our physical bodies that have all these limitations. And now we are soul energy. I mean, you could split that into, you know, all different fragments.
Sure.
You know, you could be with mom, you could be with your kids. So it's really an interesting an interesting topic when you start getting into like quantum physics mm-hmm. and that deeper stuff that I kind of start to stop reading because I get lost in it.
But yeah.
When you get to like the quantum realm and how energy works, and it's really amazing. You know, I think as a society, as a world itself, we for the longest of time saw a lot of things in shades of like white and dark, you know, like light mm-hmm. and black. Now it's like trying to read through the shades of gray where all this stuff, and we're starting to understand how energy works and how we could connect with spirit using radio devices. And yeah, even the work that my really good friends, Ron Iacovetti, Lourdes Gonzalez are doing with their digital voice sessions are amazing.
What's going on? What are they doing?
They're using direct radio voice, which they're using a white band, a world band radio. And with this world band radio, what they have is just static. So you hear nothing but just static, mm-hmm. white noise, static. And they run it through their system, and they're actually in real time using direct radio voice, connecting with spirit and having intelligent two-way conversations. So this is out of the realm of ghost box work,
mm-hmm.
where you're running like an SB7 or a device like that, and you're scanning the frequencies reverse or forward.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening in real time, and you'll hear voices come through, and you could say, "What am I doing?" And you'll hear knock, and you'll ask, you know, "Is this mom?" And you'll start having a conversation with a person that sounds like your loved one from the other side. And it's really mind-blowing to hear when you could connect into that consciousness. And the work that they're doing is they're now bringing this to the libraries, they're bringing this to colleges, and they're putting this on the forefront of spirit communication, where you know, you can use a radio device and have real-time intelligent reply from spirit.
Did they do anything to the device to make it work this way? Or is this just something you can get a world band radio, tune in to white noise and do the same thing?
Pretty much you're able to do the same thing. I mean, they are following the work of Marcello Bacci, Annabella Cardosa. These are, you know, ITC legends. And this is a method that came from a long time ago, where mm-hmm. this world band radio, you know, some people were using these vacuum sealed radios. And what Bacci was doing was he was having real time conversations with spirits of the dead and inviting parents of, you know, these parents that lost children to sit in these sessions, and their children were actually coming through. There's a documentary called Calling Earth, which I would highly recommend your viewers to watch. And you can actually see clips from when Bacci had these sessions. And the information that's coming through is as clear as you and I having a conversation right here, right now, from the spirit world. So what Ron and Lourdes are doing with direct radio voice is just following in the legacy of these great people. So I would highly recommend, even having them on the show would be super.
Oh, that'd be very interesting. Yeah. I mean, do you have connections with them? Because if you do, that'd be great to do an introduction. I'd be love to talk to them. What makes this the world band radio different than other radios that it's able to pick these things up?
Well, the big thing with it is there's nobody that's broadcasting on it. So you can rule out if it's 92.3 or
sure.
So now you rule out radio hosts, you rule out like radio channels. Mm-hmm. So now you have a device that's pure white noise.
Mm-hmm.
So when they plug it into their laptop and they put it through their software that just pretty much cleans up and is able to slow down the mm-hmm. vocals that are coming through.
Okay.
You'll be really surprised. Some stuff comes through so fast, some stuff comes through slow. The majority of the time, though, you do hear it perfectly clear. And it was a session that I had with Ron that I'll share this story with you.
Yeah.
We go to this client's house. I invited them to come along because of the work that they do. I know that the client would love it. He felt that his family was stopping in pretty much to be acknowledged. So Ron, Lourdes, they set up their equipment. They're running their direct radio voice session. And we finished the investigation. Some really cool stuff came, you know, through. In fact, the client's father was big into building stuff. So the son asks, "Dad, what did you think of Home Depot lumber?" And through the direct radio voice, you hear him say, "It's crap." So again, intelligent conversation,
yeah.
So the next day, Ron sends me a, clip on my phone. He goes, just sit down when you listen to this. So I'm playing with my kids upstairs. So I sit down and I hear this woman's voice, and the woman's voice was very familiar to me. I lost my grandmother in 2012, so I haven't heard her voice in many years. And as I'm listening to this clip that he sent me, it's her voice. And she says, "Richard, I love you. Feel it." And it ends. So immediately my eyes welled up with tears, and I'm like, wow, that's like crazy, because it's her voice.
Yeah.
So immediately I call my mom and I go, "Mom, I have a clip to play you." She goes, "Oh, what, you know, is it your ghost stuff?" "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's my ghost stuff, Mom. I have a clip for you." So I play it for her and she's quiet. And the first words out of her mouth was, "That's grandma." And I said to her, "Without a doubt." I'm like, "I just wanted to hear what you would say without me influencing you or telling you that this is what I think is grandma." And she's like, "That's amazing." And then I went into what Ron and Lourdes are doing.
Yeah.
So that is the kind of stuff that comes through the work that they're doing. I mean, I can't get into the extreme details.
Sure.
You would be the professionals to talk to, but you know, that makes you kind of think about consciousness, about energy, about spirit itself, and how it could manipulate these devices to come through with, you know, intelligent messages for the people that are sitting inside the room.
Do you see down the road there being a device that uses something like this to really clearly allow people to have one-on-one communication with the other side on a regular basis and more accepted, not just when right. someone is ghost hunting or something like that?
I really hope so. I mean, at least in the next, you know, I could be hopeful when you say, you know, 10, 20 years or maybe 50 years to be at that point. I know it's rumored that Edison has, you know, one of his last projects was working on a phone that would be able to call the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is an interesting concept, because then grief would be a lot easier to deal with when we lost a loved one, because it's crippling. You know, when somebody faces, you know, the death of a parent or a sibling or anyone that they loved, you know, it could really be crippling. And to have that communication and to understand that there's a continuity of life is huge. It's huge, and it doesn't make grief better, but it makes it more bearable to understand that we do go on and that this isn't it. And when we communicate, whether it's through mediumship or the direct radio voice, you know, it's just giving those people a little bit more of a peace of mind. And with all of our work, just letting them know that there is a continuity.
That wraps up our conversation with Richard. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his experiences with us today. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.